Grace isn't just an idea, it's a person. Let's talk about it on Key Life.
This is Key Life, here to communicate the freeing truth that God's not mad at his children. Steve Brown invited Zach Van Dyke to teach this week. Zach's the teaching pastor at Summit Church here in Orlando, Florida. If you're a struggling believer, you've come to the right place.
Thank you, Matthew, and thank you all for tuning in this week. I am filling in for Steve all week, like Matthew said, but he'll be back on Friday. He'll be back with Pete to answer any of your questions, and you should tune in, and then he'll be back again the next week. And I'll be back. I'll be back in March, where I'm actually going to be doing part two of what we're starting here this week, all about grace. So this week is really focused on what is grace? How would you define grace? And then when I'm here in March, we'll spend time talking about, okay, but how does grace actually work? Does it really change us? Does it really transform us? Does grace actually lead to godliness? Again, we'll cover that in March. Right now, we're just focused on what is grace. And I told you that there was a verse that got a hold of me a couple weeks ago when I was preaching a sermon, Titus 2:11, and it hasn't let me go. And that's the verse we're looking at all week. So let me read it to you. The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. So we started by saying grace is unearned. It's getting the opposite of what you deserve. Yesterday, I introduced the idea that grace isn't just an idea, but it's a person. That the second person of the Trinity is grace. When Paul writes in Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God has appeared," he's talking about a person. He's talking about the person of Jesus Christ. And I mentioned how the word in the Greek, epiphaino, is a word that often appears in Greek literature. And it's a word used for the arrival of a god or some other hero who would rescue his people. So the grace of God, epiphaino, the hero has appeared. Grace is a person, but not only that, grace is the hero of our stories. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of trying so hard to always be the hero of my story. And I know people are kind of down on fairy tales these days because of the whole sitting around and waiting for Prince Charming to show up. And I get it. We want agency when it comes to our stories. We especially want our daughters to feel empowered to make choices for themselves, to not feel like they have to sit around and wait for some man to come and rescue them. I get all that. But the truth is, man or woman, we need rescue. We aren't the hero. We've all taken a bite out of a poison apple. And dudes, we aren't Prince Charming in the story. We're Snow White. And ladies, it was Belle's love, right, that could see beyond the gruesome exterior of the beast to see who he truly was. Remember, grace always sees things as they really are. But listen, ladies, you ain't Belle. You're the beast. I think we've missed the point of fairy tales. Fairy tales haven't stood the test of time because of what they tell us about gender, but because of what they tell us about the gospel. The gospel says we have a creator king who made us in his image as princes and princesses of the Most High King. But a serpent came and brought a curse of sin which changed us into beast, into selfish, adulterous, hard-hearted beings. But here's the thing. There's a faraway prince, and he knows who we really are. And he left his kingdom in search of us. And in order to restore us to who we always were, princes and princesses of the Most High King, he became the beast that needed to be slain. That's the gospel. On the cross, Jesus, the true prince, the Son of God, became our beastliness, our sin, so that we could become what we always were, princes and princesses of the Most High King. My favorite verse in all of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin, to become our sin, so that through him we might become the righteousness of God. And Jesus' resurrection from the grave declares our happily forever after. Grace is a person. Grace is the hero of our stories. For the grace of God appeared, epiphino, that offers salvation. Now, I just told you the gospel, the message of salvation by using the fairy tale structure. But let me say it again as we continue to unpack this verse, Titus 2:11. While we were guilty, while we were sinners, Jesus paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. Jesus came and lived the life that you and I were designed to live perfectly without sin so that he could die the death that we deserve. Essentially, what the gospel is Jesus trades places with us. Grace trades places with us. An exchange happens every time grace occurs. This is where people get it wrong. People think, especially about preachers who spend so much time talking about grace, is that grace is giving a pass for consequences. It's going easy on sin. That couldn't be further from the truth. Grace takes consequences for sin. If grace is a person and that person is Jesus Christ, and what Jesus Christ did was die on the cross for our sins, grace trades places with us. It doesn't give us a pass for consequences. It takes our consequences. Because of Jesus, God loves you as if you were as beautiful as his perfect son, and he rewards you as if you were as great as Christ the Savior. I know it sounds crazy. It sounds like the stuff of fairy tales, frankly, but it's true. There's this line in the movie Hook. Remember that movie? Starred Robin Williams as a grown-up Peter Pan, but he's forgotten. He's forgotten all about being Peter Pan. In fact, he's become a little bit of like a stuffy, grumpy dad. But he and his family, around Christmas time, I think, go to visit Wendy, who at this point is a very old lady. And Peter begins to remember, and he begins to see things clearly. And Wendy looks at him, and she has this one tear coming out of her eye, and she says, "Peter, the stories, they're all true. Because grace appeared, because Jesus came, the stories are all true. Grace appeared that offers salvation. Grace exchanges places with us. Jesus exchanged his life for ours." One of my favorite things that I get to do as a pastor now is to talk with kids about an understanding of salvation. We have a class called Why Believe, and we go through and talk about the gospel and try to explain it in a way that they can understand. And we do this one illustration, and it always hits me probably more so than it hits these kids, but we take two books. And we say, imagine everything you've ever done, thought, or said is written in this one book. Now, imagine in the other book is everything Jesus ever did, thought, or said. And actually, it would take several more books than just one. At the end of John's gospel, John actually writes, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. But for the sake of the illustration, we got two books. Now, how would you feel if you lost your book? How would you feel if you left it at a friend's house, on a park bench? How would you feel if someone found your book at a party and started reading it out loud to everyone? Steve often says that every single one of us have a secret, that if it were exposed publicly, we would leave and never come back. How would you feel if the book that contained everything you ever thought or said or did was lost? Well, the message of the gospel is this. On the cross, Jesus exchanged places with us. Essentially, God exchanged the two book covers. At the cross, God put Jesus' name on the cover of your book and your life. At the cross, God poured out his wrath for your sin on Jesus. You know what that means? It means God got as angry as he will ever get at your sin 2,000 years ago when Jesus hung on a cross. So that thing you can't forgive yourself for, that addiction you keep going back to, that malicious gossip you passed along, that Facebook post, that secret sin that no one but God knows, he's not angry anymore. There's no anger left. In fact, because Jesus traded places with us, God's justice demands that he wrap our name as the cover around the book that is Jesus' life. He sees us as beautiful, beloved children. He couldn't be more delighted in us. So grace is unearned. It's getting the opposite of what we deserve. Grace is a person. Grace is Jesus Christ, and grace exchanges places with us. I'm so glad it's all about grace.
Thank you, Zach. That was Pastor Zach Van Dyke teaching us that grace isn't just an idea. It's a person, the person of Jesus Christ. Are you enjoying this series? Man, I am. Just so encouraging. Zach will be back for one more day this week, so make sure you join us tomorrow. And do keep in mind, if you missed any of this week's episodes from Zach or any from Steve in previous weeks, you can access all of those episodes at keylife.org. And in case you hadn't heard, our website has a beautiful new look, so it's super easy now to find what you're looking for and to also discover new content that you're going to love. Check out the Station Finder tool to find out which nearby stations will be playing Key Life and Steve Brown, etc. Also, brand new transcripts for Key Life. So now everything you hear Steve and Zach teach, you also have it in print. That's pretty cool. In addition to that, all your favorite stuff is still right there. Our just released digital magazine, sermons, video versions of Steve Brown, etc., Key Life Connection, and even more audio content. And all of it is still free thanks to the generous support of listeners just like you. If you'd like to donate, just call 1-800-KEY-LIFE. That's 1-800-539-5433. Or you can mail your donation to Key Life Network, P.O. Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. If you're in Canada, mail Key Life Canada, P.O. Box 28060, Waterloo, Ontario, N2L6J8, or email steve@keylife.org. Or charge a gift on your credit card, or include a gift in your envelope, or text Key Life to 28950. Key Life is a member of ECFA in the States and 4C in Canada, and we are a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.